And today we go straight into our Bible reading, and Marius is going to come and bring that. Thank you, Marius.
Good morning, Church.
Good morning.
I'm Ruth 4, page 269 in the Church Bible. Meanwhile, Boaz went to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So we went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself, I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, the one took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and like Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in the Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he be become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. The genealogy of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Marius, for powering on through some of those fun names as well. Please do keep your Bibles open there as we look at Ruth chapter 4 together. And let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help as we begin. And Father God, thank you so much for the book of Ruth. Father, thank you by the way it lifts our eyes to you, our Redeemer. And Father, we pray as we come to the final chapter this morning, may your Spirit be at work helping us to hear from you. May every word that is from you plant it deep in our hearts, we pray, so we can become more like Christ. In his name we ask. Amen. Well, we've all seen it 1,000 times. A small child falls over. Time seemingly goes on pause. And then a second or two later, the play button is played and the child starts crying and screeching as if the world is about to end. A nearby parent or our adult swoops down and envelopes a child in their arms. And even that, as that happens, the cries, decibels just lower that little bit, don't they? And then within a few short minutes, we're back to sobs or even smiles. Miraculously, something that looked like a life-threatening accident was actually just a grazed knee and a plaster was going to do the job. And the child is off playing exactly the same game that caused the fall just a few minutes before. But the key element there in the child being comforted for that sense of security was being able to snuggle into mum or dad's or grandma's or auntie's arms. Now, in the Walton household, when, if truth be told, when the kids were younger, it was normally mum's arms and not mine, but that's a different matter. But that security and comfort makes the world of difference when the child has fallen over. And the same is true of us. When we're falling over, when things are not going right for us, we can also find security and comfort in the arms of God. In Ruth, over these last few weeks, we've met two women, haven't we? And they've fallen flat on their face big time. Naomi and Ruth. Everything's gone wrong. Naomi said of God that God had dealt bitterly with her. They were vulnerable and weak. Their journey, it was the stuff of a disaster movie. But as we saw, hope was found in chapter 2. And then we saw that a godly man, Boaz, helps them and he prays. We looked at the verse last week, we'll look at it again, but chapter 2 and verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have taken refuge. A prayer that Ruth and Naomi would snuggle into God's embrace and find comfort there, find safety. And the question that hangs over the whole of this book is the God of the Bible, the God of reality, a God who is willing and able to bring such safety, such refuge. And as we've seen over the last few weeks in chapters 2 and chapters 3, things have been improving for Naomi and Ruth, bit by bit, reassuring Ruth and Naomi and us today that God is willing and able to bring safety. And as we saw at the end of last week, end of chapter 3, it was looking really hopeful, wasn't it? Because it looked like Ruth and Boaz might be getting married. A godly and kind chap, a great potential husband. But there's another trip along the way. Because unknown to Ruth and Naomi, there's someone else who has the right to claim Ruth's hand in marriage first. Could it still go wrong? Are God's arms worth burying into? Having that spiritual cuddle? Or is it an illusion that could crumble at any minute? Well, that's getting to our first point. And today, God redeems Ruth through Boaz. God redeems Ruth through Boaz. Please look with me at chapter 4 and verse 1. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. And Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz, is that at the city gate? And Bethlehem would have been walled and compact at that time. There wouldn't have been space for town squares. So when business of the town, when business was done between people, it was done at the town gate, where there was a bit of a crowd, where the town council would have met. And this is where we find Boaz and the other man who comes by And he says, come on, let's sit down and talk. And we need to pause for a moment and just get our head around this idea, redeemer idea, because a redeemer was someone who could free something or somebody, often as a cost to themselves. Yeah. When people perhaps are a bit skint and need a bit of extra cash, what do they do with that expensive bit of jewellery? They might take it down to the pawn shop. They hand the item over and they get some cash in return. And then a few weeks later, perhaps when they're being paid, they go back to the pawnbroker and they redeem the item. They pay the money back, they pay the money, and they set the item free from the shop. Well, Naomi and Ruth, they were trapped in poverty. And the little property that Naomi had inherited from her dead husband was of no use to her. She couldn't farm it herself. They needed someone to redeem them and the property. And as we said last week, certain people in the family had a right to do that in the wider family. And this redeeming word was first mentioned in chapter 2 and verse 20. And then it's mentioned a few times in chapter 3. But then in chapter 4, it's mentioned a whopping 13 times. Redeeming is a big idea. So Boaz tells this chap about Naomi and the land that needs redeeming. And we're sat here listening. And we're sat here as listeners wanting Ruth and Boaz to get together. And it's to our dismay. What do we read in verse 4? Verse 4? I thought I should bring the matter to your attention, suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has a right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he says. And we think, oh no. Things were looking so good for Ruth and Naomi, but it's going wrong again. It seems like God's plan for refuge for Ruth and Naomi was going wrong. It was going belly up. But then look with me again at verses 5 and 6. Verse 5. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the guardian redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. It becomes evident very quickly that this potential redeemer is interested in redeeming the land, but he doesn't want the responsibility that goes with it. And he turns, no, it's not for me. So therefore now it falls to who? To Boaz. And we get this whole sandal swapping episode, which was obviously the equivalent of an ancient rubber stamp. It sounds a lot more simple than solicitors, actually, doesn't it? I bet Dan trying to buy a property, you wish it was that easy, eh, Dan? But they swap the sandals and it's a done deal. And remember, redeeming is a big deal in this chapter. Boaz is doing the redeeming. And God's name isn't even mentioned in chapter 4 so far. But as we've seen, it's been very obvious that it's God who's behind the scenes. He's redeeming. He's giving refuge to Ruth and Naomi. And marriage to the local godly single bloke in those days, well, that was nearly like winning the lottery. And in our terms today, this is the equivalent of a single woman who has never been able to hold down a job for longer than a few months and seems only to be able to attract the wrong type of men. And has basically fallen down so often that she's practically in the gutter. And it's as if that woman is swept off her feet by a successful local businessman who is an upstanding member of the local church. The turnaround is mind-blowing. The security on offer is practically undreamable for this woman. Going from a bedsit to her own home. Money for food, not just for the next few days, but in the bank for the next year. And yet this is what God is doing as he redeems Ruth through Boaz. God is wrapping his arms around these vulnerable women and pulling them to his chest and bringing them into safety. And that is what God is like. As we bump along in life with health problems, with relationship problems, with people in church, with job issues. We need to be honest, at times, problems at work, they can feel like a ball and chain around our legs, can't they? And God is a God who longs to bring refuge for us to find security and peace in him. Now, we need to be clear here. God isn't promising to solve all our problems this morning, even necessarily in the next 2 months or the next 2 years. It took a long time, didn't it, for Ruth and Naomi's situation to turn around. Remember, they'd travelled all the way from Moab. She was gleaning in the fields. I know a Christian lady who's been battling MS for over a decade. And from a physical perspective, things have only got worse. But she's found deep and satisfying refuge in the arms of Jesus. I know a different couple whose marriage was heading down for breakdown. They then became Christians. And God's refuge to their marriage was there for the whole world to see. Ruth isn't telling us what God's refuge will look like in every single situation, in the situations that perhaps we face. The point is that we have a God who is longing and able to redeem. He wants to see your tears of sadness stopped. When a child scrapes that knee and enters into the mother's embrace, the knee is still hurting, isn't it? Even as the cuddles begin. But the sobs start going down straight away. While God longs for us to snuggle into his embrace. And then our passage turns and focuses on children, or more accurately, a child. And God redeems Naomi through a baby. Because we've got the prayer, don't we, by the elders in verses 11 and 12. And it's a prayer focused on children for Ruth and Boaz. And it's a great prayer for any couple. But remember, Ruth was a widow who had been married for 10 years. It looked like children might never happen. And she was marrying an older guy. You know, it wasn't a given that these guys would be able to get pregnant. So therefore, this prayer of the elders for this couple was a big prayer. And the whole thing about Rachel and Leah was pointing to the fact that God can bless people with many children. The blessing of children. And the Perez bit that it mentions in verse 12 is pointing to the hope for not just one, but lots and lots of children in this sleepy place of Bethlehem. And the prayer is answered very simply, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. There's a bit of bedroom gymnastics, but what does God focus on? What he does. He makes this child possible. The child is born, and all of a sudden, it's as if Ruth and Boaz fade into the background, because now it's all about Naomi and her grandson. God is mentioned as the local women praise God's name for the arrival of this baby. But as I read verse 14, does anything strike you as slightly odd about who this Redeemer is? Verse 14. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian Redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel." Now we know that the Redeemer ultimately is God, but we think the Redeemer, God has been using Boaz. And he has been using Boaz. But who's the Redeemer here? It's the baby. We got to the end of the sandal swapping bit earlier, and we thought it was a done deal and that all the redeeming had been done by God. But here, God is providing another Redeemer. A baby. And we find out why. Verse 15. "It will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." The baby's dad, Boaz, is not a young man. He won't be potentially around for much longer. It's the baby who will be a source of comfort and provision for Naomi in her old age. It's this baby who will grow into a man and will manage the family business. And because Ruth is his mother, he will surely do the right thing by his old grandma, Naomi. And I reckon we, the readers of Ruth, have been pretty impressed by God's refuge for Ruth and Naomi when Boaz redeemed them through their marriage. But it's as if God is saying, "Listen, guys, you're looking too short term. You're just looking forward to, you're just looking now to the provision of this of a home and food and family. Too short term. When God redeems, he redeems. A baby who has just given life, being given life, will also give life to Naomi's life. I'm not sure if us Christians would ever express it this way. But I wonder if we ever suspect God of being a bit tight. We know that God gives refuge, but we consider the refuge that he gives us like the minimum he can get away with. Say we need some food. I reckon lots of us would think God might provide somehow some baked beans instead of a sirloin steak. And if you're a veggie, whatever the equivalent is. His dealings with Naomi and Ruth, they weren't baked beans. This was a sirloin steak. This was completeness in redemption. No stone is left unturned when it comes to giving Naomi refuge. We, the reader, didn't even think another redeemer was necessary for Naomi. But God knew. God is acting to redeem us even when we don't even realize it. Even when we don't think it's necessary. We so often focus on what we don't have or what we perceive God has left missing from our life. How our safety in him somehow feels incomplete. God, if you'd wrapped your arms around me, surely you would have done this. A relationship with you like Naomi at the end of Ruth, full of praise and joy. Surely, God, if you'd wrapped your arms around me, I would be financially secure like Boaz and Ruth. Surely, God, if you were wrapping your arms around me, I would have that much longed for child. Surely, God, if you'd wrap my arms around me, I would have this. We could fill in the blank with anything, couldn't we? But as God redeems Naomi through a baby, his redemption is overflowing and generous. That is what God is like. That is how he acts. But he doesn't always look that way to us. It's not always the way we plan it. God's plan is always the best plan. We so easily focus on what's missing from our lives that we fail to see what God is so generously giving us. But then as we come to the last few verses, the scale of God's redemption just balloons because God redeems the world through a king. Verse 17. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This baby in Naomi's arms was going to be granddad to a chap called David. Now, that might not immediately sound exciting, but in Bible terms, that's like calling your baby, what's Charles's son called? William. It's like calling Kate, King Charles. His son is called William, isn't it? And it's like calling your son William. And then the next one being called George. A royal lineage. And now Obed was going to be the granddad of royalty. And not any old royalty, but to King David, the greatest king God's people had in ancient Israel. King David was going to be the one that God would use to secure the promised land, to beat back the enemies, to bring God's prosperous rule over God's people. And therefore, as we come to the end of Ruth, we thought God was just working on a little plan here for Naomi and Ruth. And in these last verses, it's as if it's exploded. God's plan of redemption, not just for two ladies, but for a whole nation. And God doesn't intend us to stop there, because in verses 18 to 22, we get this family tree, which again stops with David. A family tree that covers hundreds of years. God's redeeming purposes aren't just for one family. They're for generations and generations. Ruth and Naomi stood in history, for 40, 50 years? We don't know how old they were when they died. In history of over 3,000 years. God was acting then to ensure that another baby was born in Bethlehem. A royal baby who would also be called the son of David. Jesus himself. God's plan of redemption was literally not just for two women, it was out for the whole world. Let me just read from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. If you want to turn there, you're very welcome. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. This can be found on page 1173. Now we're going to read from 7 to 10. 1173, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity in all things in heaven and under earth under Christ. Redemption through the blood of Jesus on the cross. All part of God's plan, even in the days of Ruth. Actually, God's plan from the beginning of the world, to unite everything in Christ. Our God was acting to redeem the world through Jesus, all the while he was redeeming Ruth and Naomi from their lives in poverty. I don't know about you, but I struggle to think, how is God able to ensure that back in Ruth chapter 2, he's working out a plan to redeem the whole world through Jesus, but that plan includes the small detail of getting Ruth into that field with Boaz. It seems such a small thing. Such a small detail, but God is part of God. What God doing to redeem the whole world? And you think, how can God do that? How can he have such small details and such a massive plan? But he's God. I feel I'm blessed if I glimpse an insight of how an action perhaps this afternoon affects my children in 2 days' time, or in perhaps 4 years' time. I think that might work out like that. But God's plan and activity in redeeming his people like you and me and Jesus, it wasn't something you just put on the back of an envelope, a plan B, when Jesus rocked up. God had in his mind for centuries, from the beginning of time, to redeem people like you and me, and to include Ruth and Naomi in that plan. And not just redemption from the struggles of this life. And he wants us to bring safety in that. But redemption from our biggest enemy. From sin and the judgment we face because of it. Praise God for his long planned redemption through Christ. And therefore, as we come to the end of this little book, we ask at the beginning of this sermon, are God's arms really worth burying ourselves deep within? For us to find the security that we need? Or is it an illusion that can crumble just like that? We live a life now where we all fall frequently. We hurt ourselves, we hurt others around us. We're not by ourselves. We don't even just have a God who looks at us with compassion in his eyes. If you're a follower of Jesus, we have a God who longs to redeem you. Now, refuge in those daily knocks of life is a wonderful thing, but also refuge for eternity. A place where those daily knocks will no longer happen. Where we'll literally be able to climb into Jesus' lap and have a cuddle. God's refuge won't crumble. It didn't for Naomi and Ruth, and it won't for us. The refuge he gives us exactly what we need at the right time. He's big enough to get it right every time. Let's pray. Father God, you're a Lord who wants to bring comfort to your people. Not just wants to, but can and does. And we thank you for that. Thank you for that work in Naomi and Ruth's life. But Father, it's not just comfort from the knots in the here and now. It's comfort for eternity. Thank you for that Redeemer. Thank you for that baby born to Ruth and Boaz, for his great-grandson in David, and for his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson in Jesus. Father, thank you for the Redeemer that is Christ. Thank you for the way we can find comfort and peace in him now and for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.